Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Truth.
Hour with Stuart Howe on RBN. This is show number 32, and it just happens to be 9/11, the 20-year anniversary of that big pivotal event. And I'm glad you could join me today. I hope you had a good week. I appreciate your being here, whether you're listening live or on one of the rebroadcasts or podcasts. I've got a great guest for us today. I'm happy to bring him to you. Hey, if you're new to the show, the name White Rose is an homage. It's paying tribute and respect to the resistance movement against the Third Reich in early 1940s Germany, and it's worth looking into. They produced a series of six or seven leaflets which expressed their outrage with the Third Reich and the totalitarian control that was being rolled out, and they urged good German citizens to stand in opposition. So this the show is named after them. So, yeah, welcome, everybody. I have got, for you as a guest today, I'm very happy, the world's most banned comedian. He has been canceled, cancel-cultured, out of Hollywood, and a wonderful guy, really, you know, funny and, you know, a deep thinker, an important guy because he's outspoken, and that's why I was very happy to get him to agree to come on with us today. His name is Mr. Owen Benjamin. Owen, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely, man. Well, you're up here in North Idaho, right?
Yeah, dude, I love North Idaho. It's awesome. Such a great place.
Yeah, I'm down the road a bit from you in Sandpoint. I guess you're up near Bonner's Ferry somewhere in a beautiful setting.
Yeah, I'm actually closer to Sandpoint than Bonner's, but, you know, I'm in the Selly Valley.
Nice, beautiful, beautiful area. Well, excellent. I'm so happy you're up here. It's kind of amazing how many people have just sort of found their way here.
Yeah, it's like a weird electrical current. it was almost like subconscious. Like my wife and I were living in Washington, and then we knew this great guy who wrote to me to do a show here. So I did a stand-up show here, and it just felt right. And when all the nonsense started happening in Washington, you know, my wife and I are pretty used to, and our family are pretty used to just improvising and overcoming. We're like, let's go to Idaho. I really like it there. And so we did, and we never looked back, and it's one of the best decisions we made.
Yeah, I've been up here for a little while, and I love it up here. I just I am a political refugee from Southern California, Dogtown, Venice Beach, actually.
And I used to live in Marina Del Rey. I used to go jogging there all through Venice all the time.
Yeah,
changed a lot.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. Absolutely. Well, if you can, could you go ahead and just kind of introduce yourself to the audience? I've got a pretty great audience. They're pretty savvy, and I think they'll appreciate your journey.
Yeah, I mean, my journey is through comedy, and it's interesting that I'm the most banned comedian because I was always, you know, well-liked. I was the guy that they would hire to open for Julio Iglesias or, you know, a band or anybody or put me in front of whoever, and I would get along with people. What happened was, you know, the comedy world is extremely based in truth. If you're not telling the truth, it isn't funny. If you don't have a sense of truth, you can't exaggerate it or play with it or be playful with it. And so my story started in college. I started doing stand-up because I was a classical piano player in a World War II history major. That's why it's interesting that this is called The White Rose. Love to talk more about that. But and so I go out to L.A. I'm doing open mics in a variety of places. I have a couple great breaks where I get to hang out with, at the time, one of my favorite comedians, Adam Sandler, and he put me in a few movies. And then I was on the show Punk'd because I could operate, you know, in those environments really well. I started getting Comedy Central specials, Leno, Fallon. I started getting all the, you know, they hung my picture up on the wall of the Melrose Improv. I got on my own, not my own, but me and a handful of guys were the leads of a sitcom on TBS for 3 years, Sullivan and Son. And then I hooked up with Vince Vaughn. I was his closing act for theater tours. And, you know, I had a really strong career. And then, you know, around 2000, I'd say 2012 was the first signs of the change. But really in 2015 and 16 and 17, comedy changed completely in L.A., where you couldn't make fun of Bruce Jenner. You couldn't make fun of, you know, all these psychological operations that were happening. And I had a massive Twitter following, massive YouTube following, blue check mark, hundreds of thousands of followers, the whole works. And so I'd be making fun of David Hogg and Bruce Jenner and all this stuff that was so clearly funny. It was so clearly ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
And the backlash was nuts. And I was coming from a background where there was nothing off limits as long as you made the crowd laugh. And I know my heart. I know myself. I'm not a hateful person. I've run a homestead. I have 150 animals, 3 little kids, a wife, like same friend since I was in kindergarten in a lot of ways. Like I will push the envelope with comedy to be playful and to show rhetoric and nonsense. Like, for example, I won't talk about this on this show, but there's certain taboo words that make no logical sense when you actually think about what words should actually be banned, like what words are actually kind of, I don't think any word should be banned because it's all intention. It's like a gun is its intention. It's a tool otherwise. But anyway, so I was showing that because my dad is a rhetoric professor, a professor in mass comm, basically wizardry. And I don't like manipulating people. I don't like using those skills for any agenda. I just like the truth. And so to watch what they're capable of doing, and I was kicked off Twitter, YouTube, PayPal, Airbnb, dude, everything. I wasn't allowed. I could rent a theater. I could pay them the money to rent the theater. And the week of the show, they would say I wasn't allowed to use the theater, even though I sold it out. And so, you know, I was faced with a crossroads. Do I accept victim consciousness and say, oh, boo-hoo? You know, a guy with 2 parking tickets is my entire criminal record. You know, a guy that is a good guy, but at this point I'm now demonized. The global media is coming at me. They're calling me a anti-Semite, racist, bigot, homophobe, everything you want to say, like all these buzzwords. And, should, you know, the crossroads at that point was, do I embrace victim consciousness and say, oh, they're coming to get me, oh, boo-hoo, oh, I'm a victim, or, you know, adapt and overcome. And so out of this cancel culture has been one of the greatest times in my life because, you know, we started unauthorized.tv, like our own streaming platforms, our own social medias. I started touring in people's barns and people's warehouses. We developed, like, me and my audience actually developed a much stronger connection. And out of it came just such beauty. And I never would have gotten into homesteading if I didn't realize that, quote unquote, they, you know, the merchant, the system can turn off, you know, whatever they want. I started getting a lot more independent, less dependent, and now I'm much healthier, happier. The comedy's better, and you know, it's been a wild time, man. And so, it's cool to talk to new people. So, yeah, I'll talk about whatever you want.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. No, I'm really glad you're here with us. Yeah, you know, being that it's 9/11, let's talk a little bit about that, about what a turning point that was. You know, what a big paradigm shift that was and everything that they rolled out on the back of that to sort of start lining everything up for what we have rolling out now. I mean, that's where I kind of woke up to the machinations of the state. I didn't want to believe even at first about 9/11, but boy, they sure had a well choreographed narrative, you know, to roll out all the BS, whether it's the Patriot Act or the groupthink that enabled that. So, yeah, how did that affect you? How was 9/11? What kind of a process was that for you, you know, to embrace? Because I'm sure you've sought out you know, the reality of what happened, you know, at least the broad strokes in 9/11.
Oh, yeah. You know, 7-Eleven is a part-time job.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've had a very interesting run when it comes to truth or stuff. So I didn't even think about 9/11 for years after, or like the moon, or, you know, a lot of these false flag events, or a lot of the things, until I was kind of forced into it when I started waking up, as people say, to the reality that we're ruled by deception. And that when I realized all these comedians wouldn't be funny anymore for what is in effect an illusion, which is a Babylonian magic square called a dollar, or, you know, losing insurance or losing status. It's all extremely biblical. And so the 9/11 situation, when you look back on it, what a group of people do, and I don't even know who it is. You know, I used to have some theories, and now I don't even think it matters. But they'll create this epic event, which is almost like a rotten whale carcass on the beach. And then from that, all these other things come off it. So this massive magic trick, and we just witnessed another one in the last 2 years, but now that I'm aware of these things, I saw it the whole time. I never fell for any of it. But they'll create this traumatic event and then use the fear. They harvest the fear. They farm the fear, a lot like a farmer would farm soybeans. And so they take this and they use that as a velocity to make a change in some form of managerial thing that they're doing. And, you know, the Hegelian dialectic with the problem, reaction, solution. So, you know, I dove into it. I all these various characters. The thing about 9/11 and JFK and a lot of these other things is you'll find like 10 potential culprits, and you get to a point where you're like, maybe they all did it. Maybe there's another whole class of people that this is how they rule, and they rule with deception because there's so few of them and so many of us. And this is a weird thing about the government is, when I would tour and, you know, free speech was being shut down around me, it had nothing to do with market forces. I would sell out every theater, and then they would shut me down. It was the private that was shutting me down because they were all in debt. You know, all these theaters and clubs are all in debt. And it was the public libraries that would allow me. So it was one of the grand illusions that's happening is to get us to think that it's our government doing it to us all the time, when in fact, a lot of it is these magician type people using the government to enact their will through deception. You know, like the First Amendment does exist in public libraries. And so I would go to like Pittsburgh, you know, a city where I was on a sitcom. I started the Terrible Towel Twirl in 50-yard lines during Steeler games. Like, I was like a local celebrity in the city. And all clubs, all theaters, all shut me down with no market forces, no moral justification, just this nonsense based in debt. And I could always count on the public library or private locations, like the super private, like someone's barn, or the public library. And so I'm starting to see the government is like countywide, where the sheriff is important, the commissioner is important. You know, I understand zoning and stuff like that, and I'm not against them. And I think that, you know, a lot of times the government is a reflection of the people that they're serving. But when you get to this grand scale of the Bushes and the Obamas and all these people, it's something completely different. I think they just are on a different level, where I wouldn't even call it government, where they're using insurance and corporations and all this fear to enact their will. And then they use all these various release valves where people, right now everyone hates Biden. I see Biden as a dementia-laden, you know, old pervert in Depends diapers, barely hanging on, barely knows where he is. And so they're using, you know, puppets like Biden to harness all this anger so no one looks one step past Biden and sees that it's debt and fear is what manipulates people. And so that's why I'm very pro-family, very pro, you know, gratitude to God, health, truth, you know, local governance, because, you know, on that big scale of deception, there really is no getting to the bottom of it. You know, is it the Jesuits or the Jews or the Pope, or, you know, you can go down these these roads. And in the end of the day, it's none of it. It's the darkness inside of us. And so that's why this is a very big awakening time. But people, you know, it's scary at first. So for anybody out there, I understand that at first it's very scary to realize just how crazy these lies are. Like, lies on a scale that's almost impossible to fathom at first, especially a lot of good people, they can't fathom it. And then when you see it, you're like, oh, my God, like, margarine isn't better for you than butter. You know, it goes all the way down to there.
Right.
And then there's a group of people that want to stick and alone and afraid so that they can continue to extract. And, you know, it's a choice, and we can always say no.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're real brilliant in pointing out that what they use as fertilizer on all this is the fear, you know, fear and confusion.
Exactly.
And they sow that, you know, from the top down. I guess it comes out of some, you know, the boards of directors and the, you know, the councils behind government. And then it goes out through the media. And boy, here we are. And you got people that are just lining up to take an injection of, you know, God only knows what, really, at the end of the day. It's absolutely crazy. Hey, I've got a little note here from a mutual friend of ours, Casey Whalen. He asked me to ask you about Steven Crowder's show. How did that go? Is there a little story behind that? Was that something that would dovetail into what we're talking about?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was as I was getting, you know, kicked out of Hollywood and leaving Hollywood. You know, it's weird. I don't know if I was kicked out or I chose to leave because I wouldn't. You know, my agent and manager were trying to get me to apologize for being against transgender child movement, and I refused. So, you know, I guess it was a little bit of both. But so Crowder and the neocon types were kind of the next story in my life where they were like, yeah, Hollywood sucks. You know, we're against abortion too. And I was like, wow, you guys are great. And so we did all this comedy together, and it was a good time. And then there was, just out of respect, you know, I'm not going to get too into it, but, you know, there's topics they won't touch, and they consciously won't touch it because of funding. And so that was enough of that. And so I'm doing my own thing at this point, and I have a lot more in common these days with, you know, guys that live near me and guys that do different jobs in entertainment, because, like, I think most entertainment people are, you know, they're not very principled people. And, you know, like I'll just tell you the story. Who cares? It's like, so, you know, we bonded over this whole transgender child thing. And then I did a lot of research and realized that the major producer of the hormone, like the exclusive producer of the hormone, was Teva Pharmaceuticals out of Israel. And so I wasn't allowed to talk about that. And so, that kind of ended that, because that's not how I roll. If I'm trying to figure something out and the rabbit hole leads me somewhere, I'm not going to have someone say, you know, you can't talk about that. So it's like, how much does someone really care if, like, there's certain topics that you can't actually explore? You can pretend, you know, you can say, oh, the left is doing this and, oh, these damn liberals and all that. But as soon as you actually figure out the culpable companies and where they're located, you know, you got to go silent at that point. Then I think it's all a smoke show.
Yeah. Once you kind of get a clear view of some tangible guilt and
exactly,
you know, where it's all coming from, it gets a little tricky. Hey, we've got a break coming up here, and then we're going to be back. But, you know, I'd love for us to get into some of those topics that you just can't talk about anywhere else. You know, this is,
I love it, man. Whatever you want, I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely, because the whole transgender thing, you know, that is just astounding that they're able to popularize that for children. I would have thought there would have been a lot more outrage. And, you know, it's at the end of the day, I mean, you know, going after Bruce Jenner is hilarious. I mean, even he's got to appreciate, you know, the potential.
Yeah,
for
my joke, my joke that got so crazy, everyone got so crazy about it. I said, Bruce Jenner was just given Woman of the Year, but hasn't been a woman for a full year yet. Doesn't that disqualify you? You know, it's such an obvious joke. Yeah.
That's good. Well, hey, we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Owen Benjamin on the White Rose Resistance Hour on RBN.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Meanwhile, back in the year one, when you belonged to no one, you didn't stand a chance, son. If your pants were undone, 'cause you were bred for humanity and sold to society. One day you'll wake up in the present day, a million generations removed from expectations of being who you really want to be. Skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of the new day.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the White Rose Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe on RBN and our guest, Owen Benjamin. Owen, that was some great stuff that you led us into. I think you hit on a couple of really kind of magical areas. You know, one is that it's important and really just wonderful to just have an appreciation for the truth and wherever that leads, you know, regardless of preconceived ideas. And you certainly express that, and that is a wonderful thing. And the other thing that goes along with that is, once we start finding out a bit about what's true, is not having hatred. I think we can go anywhere we want, and we can you know, sort of expose anything in any way that we feel led to, as long as we're not coming from a hateful place. And I think that is a really key thing. And you express both of those principles in the way you live, which is really wonderful, because I share that with you. I share, you know, the love for the truth for the sake of it being true. And they're trying to take that away from us. They're trying to obfuscate the truth on a grand level. And that is just fascinating to me, the ability at which they're able to do that successfully with a lot of people that, you know, don't appear stupid. And maybe they're not. They're just desperately trying to cling to what, you know, the comfortable fallacies. And they're, you know, they're actually, you know, completely erroneous worldview, but that's all they've known, and they don't want to let it go. But I think solution and remedy is going to come from exactly what you've been expressing, which is the love for the truth, the willingness to go there, and, you know, to go there without hatred and be able to, you know, lay things out for people, you know, hopefully with a sense of humor and without any hatred.
Yeah, exactly. And I have some advice for anybody dealing with hatred, because I understand where it comes from. It comes from fear. And so when you're first seeing some of this stuff, and if you feel yourself getting really angry at a group or a person, always remember that they're doing it to themselves. That at first when you see this stuff, you're like, oh, you know, they're going to get me. They're going to get my family. They're going to do this. And that usually is where the hatred comes from. And it's a natural response. But then you get to a point where you realize that they're constructing prisons of them for themselves. It's not you. And as long as, like, because there was a time when I thought, you know, a lot of bad stuff was going to happen to me for saying the truth. Like, I was repped at CAA. You know, I was like, that's the biggest, craziest agency in Hollywood. And to not back down and to, like, be fired and be shamed and to have all these media people coming at me, there was, you know, several months where I really had some fear, but it wasn't going to stop me. But, you know, when those things pass and you realize that there's nothing they can do to you on a spiritual level or even a material level, the hate goes away and it almost becomes pity. And that's like, you know, I've gotten those feelings and it's so refreshing because I never thought I was going to actually feel that. Like, I know some really spiritual guys where they would view some of these tyrants and see pity, and I was like, no, we got to do something, we got to stop them. And they're like, dude, they're doing it to themselves. And now I totally see that, because, you know, outside of their lies and deception and this nonsense, the world's still great. Like, the grass is still growing, the cows are still chomping, the chickens are still laying, the kids are still giggling. You know, it's like, and so, yeah, because hate really is something that hurts you, not them. You know, the more you hate, the more you fear, the more they can feed on it. And then when you don't have that, the level of empowerment gets really, really exciting. And so I know people are feeling that fear right now. And so that's why if anybody can take that advice and run with it, there's no greater power than that, to grow a family or to grow a tomato plant and see that one tomato can grow 100 more plants. I mean, it's like mind-blowing.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, they have only the control over us, which we give to them. And exactly. You make a very, very important point, is that these people are doing it to themselves, and they shouldn't be hated. I feel bad for them. And, you know, some of the Eastern philosophies even believe we should be appreciative of our adversaries, because they teach us much more and they help us grow much more. And they're really sacrificing themselves for our benefit. It's really hard to see it from that point of view. It really is. We've got another quick break coming up, and then we're going to have a long segment, and I look forward to fleshing out some of these taboo no-go zone topics. You'll be great to talk with about some of this stuff, because, you know, there are so many things that they just don't want us to discuss, and I think letting go of the fear and the anger is one of the bigger ones, and I'm glad we've gotten to talk about that. We'll continue on the other side of this break on the White Rose Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe and my guest, Owen Benjamin.
truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back, folks. We're back with Owen Benjamin. I appreciate you getting through the break here with us. Thank you very much. Owen, yeah, great stuff we're talking about here. I really appreciate you coming on with us. You know, it seems this quote came up from Voltaire that if you want to know who rules over you, just look at who you can't criticize. And I think it's a lot distracting us from that now. And I don't think it's just one group, but there does seem to be an agenda coming down, you know, through, you know, the global banking community and the World Health Organizations. It's sort of coming down on a global scale, and it sort of is starting to look like it might actually be a conspiracy. And so it's a really interesting, you know, thing to see how this is rolled out. I was flabbergasted when I started to see, despite my love for all cultures, how much of these machinations have been rolled out through the the media and, you know, the unbalanced amount of control over media and banking by particular groups. And although I would never point a finger at one group, it really is, you know, kind of outrageous, you know, to see how much control, you know, the Zionists have over America in general, whether it's through banking or media. And I don't think, and I say this with no hate and no animosity in my heart, that it's really, you can't kind of not question and want to know the truth of why a group has, you know, 2 or 3 or less than 5% of the population of a country. But then if you look at the ownership and the control level of media and banking, you see a 90+ percentile tie-in to that group. And I hope people can start to see that the firewall they're putting up to keep us from criticizing, you know, any group or any situation is just to keep the truth from getting out. And if it's, you know, if it's done, you know, like without any hatred, I think it's very important that people start to let those firewalls down and take in information just so they can start to understand, you know, that there is a really big agenda coming out of certain power centers, you know, around the world. And it's something you've been up against, obviously, for quite a while, and it's something I wrestle with because I don't want to be, you know, would never want to think of myself as hating any group of people, and I don't. But it's really, I think, important to know the truth about, you know, why some groups of people are, you know, more predominantly, you know, in control of certain negative aspects of the rollout of these agendas.
I got some theories for you. So,
okay.
So, that quote is so true, where it's, if you want to know who rules over you, just ask yourself who you're not allowed to criticize. And so, no man rules over me. And I've known that for a long time. And so, I went hard at the groups that I would get the most pushback for. And so,
Yeah, I got a click there. No, I got a click, and now I'm getting feedback. Okay. Ah, thank you. Okay. Well, interesting timing on some technical difficulties here, folks. Thanks for bearing with us. We're trying to get everything straightened out in the background. Sam, my producer, let me know when I've got Owen back.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Oh, hey, yeah, welcome back. I don't know what
happened. All right, so I got some theories.
Okay.
I'm ready to go.
Please. Let's do it. We've got a long segment here. Let's flesh it out.
As a comedian, I know all these illusions. Like, a lot of the jokes I have that are called racist, I wrote in black rooms. It's like the jokes that would make black audiences laugh. People would say, it's out of context, they'd say, oh, that's all right. So I've known for a long time that no man is ruling over me. So if you like that Voltaire quote that you said, that if you want to know who rules over you, who are you not allowed to criticize? So I went really hard and making fun of Jews, because that was a group that everyone said you're never allowed to make fun of, specifically banking, media, all that. I figured out a lot through this process. One, it's not Jews. You're right about the Zionism thing. The word Jew is a liability shield, and they use it because of historical persecution to hide. And so what we're dealing with isn't Jews. It isn't like people that follow the Torah or have any specific genealogy. It's what I consider vacated people. So people that have been vacated through sin, trauma, all this stuff. That's why I got a lot more biblical in my thinking, because I don't think it's people. I think it's like a demonic presence, Satan, you know. I know that could sound a little kooky to people, but it's I don't see any other explanation, because there's a lot of really good Jews. People that identify themselves as Jews are not doing anything. A lot of them are like really kind of just paranoid, kind of goofy people. And I couldn't really see that until I went hard in the paint, because I was like, okay, you're telling me I can't say this word, I can't make fun of this group. That's exactly where I have to go. You know, you get flack when you're over the target. And then I realized that the Zionist agenda, uses Jews as a shield. And a lot of Jews I know are not into Zionism. They actually, it's kind of like being American and having this military-industrial complex use us as shields, where it's like, oh, the Americans are trying to bomb Syria. It's like, I'm just trying to grow some corn, bro, you know?
Yeah.
So there's tons of Jews that are like that, too. They're not in on it, you know? And so they use this. Me and my friends joke about the early life on Wikipedia. Like, everything you can think of, from pornography to opioids to everything, the military-industrial complex, everything you can think of that's bad, you know, the trans child agenda, trying to normalize pedophilia, like every horrifying thing you can think of. You go to those people on Wikipedia, early life, every one of them says they're Jews, to the point where I've watched Wikipedia lie about me. So why wouldn't they lie about them? So then, you know, I put on my detective hat and I realized that they're using the word Jew to hide. And the biblical explanation would be the synagogue of Satan, which would kind of be called Zionist, or just, I don't know, evil. And I think people get so vacated from sin. They're so material. You know, I think the 666 realm is carbon, you know, proton, electron, neutron, 666. So they're so vacated that they just do the will of demons. And so the key is to just not be like them. Don't get into debt with them. Don't buy into their fears. Don't watch their pornography. Don't take their pills. You know, and the more you do that, the higher your frequency gets and the less they even affect you at all. You know, banks can hurt you if you get into debt. Pills, you know, the pharmaceutical industry can hurt you if you're afraid, if you don't trust your body, if you don't trust God. And so, you know, I've taken a lot of self-ownership for a lot of these problems now, because I'm not going to blame, you know, people for what's happening. And I think a lot of the trans movement is, again, a liability shield for really bad food. I was digging your commercials in the break where you're talking about genetically modified food, you know, GMOs. I think this food is so bad that people are eating, that their endocrine system and their hormones are getting so out of whack that they have to run cover with a narrative so that people don't freak out. Where it's like, because when I was a kid, even like the gay guys were like way more like aggressive, and I'm trying to keep this family friendly, but, you know, active in their proclivities. Like nowadays, they're all like indoor cat. They're like, yeah. You know, they're like weak, yeah. and you know, like they appear to be very sickly. And so I feel like a lot of the trans movement is a liability shield to make people feel good about their sickly, broken, asexual, weird existence that comes from their horrible food, the horrible water, horrible lifestyle, you know. And so that's why, you know, it's been such an interesting ride, man. It's like, because they make so many people scared to say, you know, why does every media company owned by a Jew, or all these people, they call themselves Jews? So you think that's the end of the story. But I just was a bull in a china shop, went right through that phase. And I was like, these people aren't even honoring God. Like, they're not the Jews of the Old Testament. They're not the tribe of Judah or David or Samuel, you know. What is this? And then I realized that a lot of them have taken the word Jew almost parasitically, because Jews were always so respected. They were called the people of the book, that they used that so you can't criticize them. They've created a victim consciousness. And so my advice to people, as someone who's been through a lot in the last few years, is, don't accept victim consciousness. Even if you think like, oh, the powers that be are trying to get me to do this, or they're trying to break the family and all this. No, you do not accept it. If the food is poison, you grow your food. If you think they're trying to hurt your demographic, you have as many children as you can. You know, if you think they're trying to break comedy, you do comedy literally in a forest if you have to. But the victim consciousness is the sickness that they've adopted from Satan. Like, Satan is the ultimate victim, the ultimate fancy pants, the ultimate, you know, lollipop guy who wanted to be God and can't, so he's always angry. And so that's what I recommend, because you will find, you'll see the Jew thing, you'll see the spell, you'll see, you know, the Jesuits and the Jews, you'll see these light layers, and you'll think, oh, they're holding us down, they're doing this to us. And they're still not. They're only hurting themselves. And they're not really Jews, and they're not these people are like frauds. And
yeah.
I've actually known a lot of them from my days in Hollywood, and they're really broken. You know, when you look at them in these palaces and in these giant homes, and guys, I don't want to get into the details because it's pretty dark, but, you know, these guys are really low and sad and paranoid. That's why if anybody is interested in some of the comedy we make, unbearablesmedia.com, you can check out, I have a whole character called Ira Roth. You know, it's a human debt instrument, like Roth IRA. And he's like, you know, it's called the Grabbler, because the word Jew isn't even accurate, so we call them Grabblers. And so we do all these cartoons about Ira. You know, Ira's just trying to be a better boy. And he's, like, motivated by envy. You know, he's like, might be nice. You know, and he's just always, he's always struggling to be not a victim, but he can't help himself. And, of course, he's incredibly wealthy. Like, we have a whole sketch where it's Ira and Pol Pot. And he's explained to Pol Pot from Cambodia that he's horrible at marketing genocide. He's like, you got to sell it, Pol Pot. You need a pile of shoes. You know, and Pol Pot's just like, I shoot people in the jungle. And he's like, but it's about the shoes, the fear. And so when you understand marketing, which is what my dad taught at a university level, you're like, wow, it's really that sad. These people are just like trying to create fear and marketing and, you know, these catchphrases to get people to, they use sin and lust and sloth and envy to get people to humiliate themselves. And that's really it. And so that's why, you know, the good, the true, the beautiful, you know, if you focus on that, they have nothing on you.
Yeah, they have nothing that you don't give them. And, yeah, I think I've started to move away from their infrastructure, whether it's banking or food to some degree. And I think that's really an important thing that you're onto that I'd like to, you know, share with people is, you know, we have the ability to build parallel networks for food production and distribution and community. You know, you mentioned it earlier how important it is, you know, to know your neighbors and to be able to share with your neighbors, have potluck dinners. You know, we live in a great place with a constitutional-minded sheriff and some good representatives and good neighbors. And that's, I think, something people are starting to gravitate to and get away from this satanically controlled, you know, agenda, which whether, you know, it's reflected through their usurpation of Israel and Jews, pointing out the word Jew. It's a culture that's been, you know, hijacked to a large degree, as have a lot of other ones. You mentioned Pol Pot. I mean, there was a large evil behind the genocide there. There were no Jews involved with Pol Pot. I don't think there's a lot of Jews in Cambodia. So it's just important for us to move towards, you know, healthier, non-dependent networks, what for food or for, you know, our trade with our neighbors. And so I like the fact that you appreciate community a bit. We're going to go to a break here.
We literally started our own social media, you know, Bertaria Times, map.bertariatimes.com. Like, I've used donations that people send me to literally build infrastructure so that people never have to go to grocery stores. They've started their own farmers markets, they've started their own businesses, their own families. Like, that system is so dark, and I'm still a part of it in certain ways, but I still buy stuff sometimes. But like, the more we shift away, the less hate we feel and fear. And it's really fun. Like, my wife spins wool for us, and we make our own cheese and our own pickles, and, you know, it's insane. And
that's
when
awesome.
People get off the it's it's something to really look forward to, because their system is sick and it's it's failing. Like,
and we're becoming
like that system is going down that quickly.
And you point out, you know, the joy that comes from being less dependent on it. And it's not a matter of being 100% off the grid all in one fell swoop. It's just moving in that direction.
Yeah.
Feels really good. So that's good. Hey, we've got our last break coming up, and then we're going to come back. I've got a guy holding a Fred from Michigan. I'm going to take a quick question from him after we get back, and then I'll have you give out all your information so people can follow you. But it looks like we should have a break coming up here in a second. Well, it's been great having you on. I want to thank our mutual friend, Casey Whalen, who's been, you know, my in-the-field producer, more or less, and he's helped me get some great guests, and I so appreciate your coming on with us, Owen.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Yeah, it's awesome you put this together.
Excellent. Well, great. Well, I will chat with you more after the break here on the White Rose Resistance Hour on RBN.
Cool.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Back to our final short segment of the White Rose Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe on RBN. And I want to again thank RBN and Sam, our producer, in the studios there, and John Stadmiller. I really appreciate having the show and being able to bring great guests like Owen Benjamin. Owen, I've got a caller here. I'm going to bring him in really briefly for a quick question. We've got a very short segment here, and then we'll close out the show. Fred, are you with us?
I am.
Fred, yeah, there's a quick question for Owen, then we're going to let you go.
Well, I hope you give me like 90 seconds. There's a couple in Olympia, Washington State, Brian and Jenna. They're experts in biochar.
I love biochar.
Yeah, well, they're experts, and you know, it's astonishing what is accomplished utilizing that relative to soil integrity and longevity and the quality of the food crops, et cetera. So you ought to connect with them, and they would make an excellent guest for this broadcast.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I've heard nothing but good things about biochar. Very quickly, what is their contact information? And then we're going to let you go because we're about to end the show. How do we get a hold of them?
Yeah, I'll have to connect with Sam. I've got their phone number, but I don't think they want me to give it out over the air. So I'll just relay it to Sam, then he can relay it to you. How about that?
Appreciate that. Thank you, Fred.
And the last thing I want to say is, every state that has a state university has what's called a cooperative extension office system. And this is how I connected with organic farmers, lamb people, et cetera, in surrounding counties, okay? So the cooperative extension office can be accessed through the land-grant universities
awesome.
In all the states.
Hey, thank you for calling. We got to go. We're running out of time here. I want Owen to be able to give out his information here. How can people get a hold of you or see more of your work? Owen said, love for people to, you know, to be able to access your work.
Yeah, just owenbenjamin.com, owenbenjamin.com. And that's where you can find all my platforms. Unauthorized.tv is where I live stream. You can find my channel on BitChute. I've been kicked off all the mainstream ones, so got to do a little digging, but it's worth it. I stream every day for at least 2 hours, so people can check that out.
Yeah, awesome. Very good. Well, any parting words or any words of encouragement or anybody that you want to shout out to or anything? We've got about a minute left here, and I'd love for you to have the floor.
Yeah, I just think people should really embrace these times, you know, and when you see stuff that you find scary or pushy or if they're trying to get you to do something, see it as a blessing. And I know it can be hard at first, but maybe this is God's way of pushing you to be closer to your family or taking a different type of job or doing something that you never thought you'd do before and you know, get into your own. Like, every horror has a remedy. You learn about what's in our food, grow your own food. You learn about what's happening demographically, have a big family, you know, and learn how to build a house. You know, like all these skills and all these experiences are what makes life fun. And so understand that this system is sick and it's going to keep going downhill. So find an alternative.
Absolutely. Yep. A lot of opportunities here. Well, thank you so much, Owen. Everybody, I love you. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next Saturday. We'll have a wonderful week and we'll see you next Saturday. As you really have to pray, looking for a sign that the universe of my hands has written you into the passion play, skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of a new day.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. to you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to...